good evening, Rabbi Schechter.
Yes, good evening, Shamalei. Maybe maximize the screen. There is a square on the top right of the Zoom window.
What am I supposed to do? I touched that square. Oh, the square over here? Is that better?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Oh, that's smaller. Oh. Is that full screen or part screen? Oh, so never mind. So I never hit it again.
What happened?
Is that a full screen now?
I don't know.
Is everybody see full screen?
I don't see anything. There's no picture at all.
Oh.
Fine.
Yeah, but Rebbe can't see anything, that's why. I'm just looking at random things.
But you can see me?
Yes.
Okay.
Good. Okay, fine.
Good evening, everybody. Shalom Aleichem. Tonight's shiur, all the shiurim this year are dedicated to Zecha Nishmas. Mr. Hai Arbisfeld passed away several months ago at the beginning of the COVID epidemic. We'll talk a little bit about Hanukkah. This Thursday night is the first night of Hanukkah. The Gemara comments on the Gemara and Yuma comments on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Am Natzeach Alayelos HaShachar. And the Gemara had a tradition that even though this appears in Tehillim, that was composed by David HaMelech, completed by David HaMelech, composed by different Chachamim, but this Perek in Tehillim is a reference to the story of Esther. And Esther offered this tefillah when she had to go into the Beis HaMalchus. So the Gemara says, how do you see that in the opening line, Lam Natzeach al Ayelos HaShachar? Just like Ayelos HaShachar is Sof HaLaila, it's the end of the night, so too, Esther is Sof Kol HaNisim. That was the end of all of the Nisim. So that's why it's a reference to Esther. So the Gemara asks, Vayikar Chanukah, what about Nes Chanukah? The Gemara said, Nitna Likosim Ko Amina, that there are Nisim that are described, mentioned in Tanakh. And then the Nes Purim is written up in Tanakh. And the Nes of Chanukah doesn't appear in Tanakh. The Nes of Chanukah, the Nes of Purim belongs to Torah Shebichsav. And the Nes of Chanukah belongs to the Torah Shebal Peh. The Nes of Purim occurred before, during the 7 years of Golda's Bubble. That's the Gemara's tradition. During the time of the Bayis Rishain, we don't really have so many dinim derabbanan that were developed at that time. We don't have so many dinim deraisa that were developed at that time. The Mishnah in Shkolim has a medrash dorash Yehoyada HaKohen. Yehoyada HaKohen is a biblical figure in Sefer Melachim. And the Mishnah in Shkolim has a din that the Moshe Kachi Kachim Karev Oila, he was the one who darshan the pasuk. Then the Gemara says that in by Memadlik, and David HaMelech died on Shabbos, and he was Mutal Bechama, and there was already a din of Muktzah. So Shlomo HaMelech sent a message to the Chachamim that his father's body is Mutal Bechama, and a dead body is Muktzah. Is there any way to move the mace out of the sun? So he told him the din of Kikaratinak. So you see, already in the days of David HaMelech, they had the din the Rabbanon of Muktzah. Muktzah Letiltol, for sure, is only the Rabbanon. Even according to Rashi's opinion that muktzah la'achila, something is muktzah, you're not allowed to eat it, that's a din d'oraisa. Most of the Rishonim disagree with Rashi, but muktzah l'tiltol, that you're not allowed to handle muktzah, that for sure is only a gzeir d'rabbanan. That's a gzeir shem ayotzi. The Chachamim said you're not allowed to handle muktzah around the house, gzeir that you may forget and carry it into the street. They really wanted to ask for handling anything in the house, lest you'll forget and carry it into the street. But that would be a gzeirah shenroi v'atzi b'yecholim lamad bo. How can you function? You have to be able to take off your clothes and put on pajamas. You have to be able to hold a fork and a knife and hold a sitter and put on a talus and so on. So they only prohibited tiltamukta, something that's bank cover called piece of junk. Anyway, you don't need it. Eitzim abonami offer, something that has no hishtamshas anyway. So they prohibited handling it on Shabbos. So that's only a din d'rabbanan. So the din d'muktzah was already instituted before the death of David HaMelech. Maybe it was instituted before the days of David HaMelech. Then the Gemara in the second parak in Erevin, we learned that years ago when we learned parts of Erevin. So the Gemara said that Shlomo HaMelech introduced until his Yadayim for Truma. and he introduced Eruv Chatzeres. These are dinim derabbanan, but the bulk of the dinim, the bulk of the gzeiros derabbanan, were introduced in the Bayis Sheni. And the big development of the Torah Shebaal Peh, it was very. Doesn't seem that there was so much development of the Torah Shebaal Peh in the Bayis Rishon period. Torah Shebaal Peh includes Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. Okay, so there's nothing to develop. You just transmit. Tefillin have to be square and they have to be black and shine. There's a Nisach HaMayim on Sukkos, according to one opinion, the Gemara is Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. Right? So the din was transmitted from generation to generation. The Mishnah in the end of the first paragraph, Chagiga, says Het the Nedorim. Haforos Nedorim is Parsha in Chumash and Parsha is Matas, but HaTorah, that Bezni could be Mata Neder. So the Mishnah in the last nine line in the first paragraph, Chagiga, is of the opinion Het the Nedorim Porchem Boavir, that it was transmitted orally from generation to generation, like sound waves. So the Torah Shebaal Peh transmitted this halacha Moshe MiSinai. But in lahem al meshi yismochon, there's no way to read it in between the lines in the Chumash. It's not learned that through the Midrash HaTorah and Reshis Bem. It was halacha Moshe MiSinai. The other Tanoim in the Gemara there, the end of the first paragraph, Chagiga, disagree, and they hold, no, yesh lahem al meshi yismochon. You don't need halacha Moshe MiSinai for this. No, there's a way to read it in between the lines from the Chumash, from the Tanakh, from Tilim, from other psukim in Tanakh. So halachas l'moshe m'sinai were transmitted from generation to generation, okay? Porchem bo'avir, the sound waves were transmitted from generation to generation. So that there's nothing to work on. But the Torah Shebaal Peh includes all of the drushes that are learned out through the Yud Gimel Midrash Shatar Nidrashes Behem, and all the dinim derabbanan. The Rambam calls all of those divrei sofrim. The Rambam got the expression from the Mishnayos, from the Gemara. The expression Divrei Sofrim means a din that was developed by the Rabbanim. Sometimes it's developed because it's invented by the Rabbanim, a din the Rabbanim that was invented by the Rabbanim. And sometimes it's a din d'oraisa that was developed by reading it between the lines, by using the midas, Shatar Nidreshes Behem. So that's all called Divrei Sofrim. So that's what the Gemara says, that the Nes Purim occurred. According to the Gemara's tradition, the Nes Purim occurred during the 7 years of Golas Babel, towards the end of the 7 years, I think 2 years or so, before the Binyan Bayis Sheni was completed. But the Nes Chanukah was deep into the Bayis Sheni period. So that was already the Tkufa, because on the occasion of the Nes Purim Kimu V'Kiblu, there was a new Kabbalah HaTorah in the Medrash Tanchuma, and Parshas Noach says, the Gemara says, why do they have to have a new Kabbalah Sator? Because at Har Sinai, it was Kaf Aleim Har Kigig, the Torah was forced upon Bnei Yisrael. So Tosis is bothered with the Kash, what do you mean it was forced on Bnei Yisrael? They said, Nasa v'nishma. So the Medrash Tanchuma explains in Parshas Noach, there's a long passage in them, a long paragraph in the Medrash Tanchuma, that when they said Nasa v'nishma, they were accepting the Torah Shebichzav. The dinim don't seem so complicated. Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha not so complicated. But then the Rabbanu Shalom said, there's a Torah Shebaal Peh also, and there's a Mishnah Brura, and there's a Darkei Tshuva, and there's a Mishnah and Orach HaShulchan. There's so many swarm of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So that Bnei Yisrael were not prepared to accept on the occasion of Hasinah. So that was Kaf Aleim Har Kigigis. Hori Kiblu B'Meach HaShverish, on the occasion of the Nes Purim, they accepted the Torah Shebaal Peh. Again, Beratzen. So after they accepted the Torah Shebaal Peh Beratzen, from that time on, there was much more of a development of the Torah Shebaal Peh. During the Tkufa, the Bayis Rishon, we don't have any evidence of too much development. The main development seems to have been after the Nes Purim, after the Mekabel Beratzen, the Torah Shebaal Peh, so then they developed it much more. So that's what the Gemara says, that Chanukah is a yontif of the Torah Shebaal Peh. It's interesting. What happened? What was the story of Chanukah? I think in the Megillas Chashmonaim, it says, if I'm not mistaken, I think it says that Matisyahu, if I'm not mistaken, Matisyahu saw one of the Misyavnim was offering a pig on the Mizbeach to Avodah Zarah, so he killed him. What do you mean you kill a person because he worships Avodah Zarah? There's a pasuk in Chumash at the end of Chumash Bamidbar, Lo Yomas HaRetzeach Even if a person murders someone else, he really deserves a death penalty. If a person murders someone else, you're not allowed to kill him until you bring him to Bez, then you make a Gemar Din Lamisa. Kozman, he didn't make a Gemar Din, you're not allowed to kill him. So the same thing, Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to kill a person because you saw that he worshipped Avodah Zarah. You have to have Hasroah, and you have to go to Bezdin, and Bezdin has to try to be Malamed Zchus, and so on. So he went ahead and he killed the person on the spot. And then they started a whole Melchama, a whole rebellion against the Yevonim. And it was Rabbi Miyak Miyatim. They thought at the time they don't stand a chance to win the war. So what are they making a war? It's suicidal. You're not allowed to commit suicide. You're not allowed to start a war. You're not allowed to start a war if you don't think there's a chance of winning. It was a miracle that they won. But Derech HaTeva, they thought they're not going to win. So how are they permitted to start such a war? So there's a famous Machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam. Usually the din is that Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha Kol HaTorah Kula, except for the Gimel Averos HaChamuris, where you say, Yoharek V'Yavar Ba'avod Zora Gil Yerais and Shvichas Domin. So let's say it's a different aver. Let's say a Nochri holds up a gun to my head and he wants me to be Mechal Shabbos, otherwise he's going to shoot me. He wants me to drive him. So let's say he just robbed the bank and he has a getaway car and he wants me to drive the car on Shabbos. Not Miskaben Lahavar al Hadas, just he wants me to drive the, but it's Shabbos, so you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. But for the sake of Pikoch Nefesh is Decha Kol HaTarakula. So the din is that you're supposed to be Mechal Shabbos. So what if the person wants to, as a Midas Chassidus, he wants it, he'd rather give up his life, Al Kiddush Hashem, and he doesn't want to be Mechal Shabbos. So the Rambam says, you're not allowed to give up your life. That's equivalent to committing suicide. And the Balei HaTosfos say that even if it's a mitzvah, where there's no din of Yehareg Bal Yavar, the din is Yavar Bal Yehareg, but Tosfos says if the person volunteers to give up his life, so then... we would say that as a Midas Chassidus, you're allowed. So the Ges Mishnah points out that even according to the Rambam, that it's equivalent to suicide, that you're not allowed to give up your life. If the Halacha says, Yavra Baal Yehoreg, that Pikoch Nefesh is Doicha, you're not allowed to give up your life. But there are Gemaras that seem to say that people did give up, Chassidim, Tzadikim, Anshei Maise, they did give up their life, they committed suicide in order not to do Shara Averis. So the Ges Mishnah quotes from the Ran, even according to the Rambam, if it's an unusual case and the person feels that he will accomplish a big Kiddush Hashem, so then we say that you're allowed to, even the Rambam would agree that you're allowed to give up your life. What kind of a din is that? So that's what the Gemara has, halachas. That's the koach of the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Gemara has halachas. Yesh koach b'yad chachamim lakadog min haTorah. The chachamim have authority to be oiker dinim min haTorah sometimes. During the Baisheni al pi pashas, they made the gzeira that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you're not permitted to blow shofar. And when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, Sukkot is also going to fall out on Shabbos. First day Sukkot is a mitzvah min haTorah to shake the lulav all over the world. Lekach t'malachem b'yam harishon, all over the world. In the Migdosh, Lulav Nitol Kol Shiva is a din deraisa. In the Chutz LaMigdosh, Bigvulin, the mitzvah is only on the first day. But if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, the first day Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. So then there were goyzer mid the Rabbanan, Yesh Kech Ve'achachamim, Lakadog Men HaTorah, B'Shei Ve'Altas. How did they know that they had the right to be Yoyked Dov Men HaTorah? In the Shir, last year we were learning a lot of Gemara. 2 years ago, last year we were learning Yevamos. So there's a whole sugya in Yevamos. So Rabbi Chana Basman explained, how did the Gemara know that the Koyach of the Chachamim go so far? The Gemara in Yevamos, Dav Chav, Chav Aleph, learns out from the Pasuk, Ushmatem es mishmarti lebilti asos mechikos atoibos ha'ele. That's the concluding Pasuk in Parshat Zachri Mos. So the Gemara learns out from that Pasuk that the Chachamim have the right to make asay siog latar, the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, asay siog latar. And that's what the Baal HaTanya points out in his drasha on Rosh Hashanah. The Ruba of the Siyogim were made in the Baisheni Tkufa, not in the Bais Rishon. Because the Ruba of all of the development of the Torah Shebaal Peh was really in the Baisheni. Bais Rishon, we don't have so much development of the Torah Shebaal Peh. In all the dinim de rabbanan, the Rambam writes in the Hagdamah to his Pirush on Mishnayos that the Mishnah represents the Torah Shabbat Peh. He says there are five halakim to the Torah Shabbat Peh. So the first three halakim, he says, are halachas l'moshe misina. We have traditions. The tefillin have to be square, and the tefillin and the ritzuas have to be black, and so on. He says there aren't so many halachas l'moshe misina, and he says I'm going to give you the whole list, and he gives you a whole list of halachas l'moshe misina. He said this is the whole list. Then he says another part of Torah Shabbat Peh is the dinim that are established based on the Yud Gimel Midas Shatar Nidreshes Bem. Then he has a third chelik to the Torah Shabbat Peh is Perushim HaMekubalim L'Moshe MiSinai, that there are certain phrases in the Chumash that have certain connotations. If you just look in a dictionary, you look up each word in a dictionary, you won't get that mashmas. But we have a tradition, Perushim HaMekubalim L'Moshe MiSinai, like creates hadar. If you look in a dictionary, it's a lot of any fruit that you enjoy is a creates hadar. But halacha, the tradition has it that it refers to an esrog. It doesn't mean whatever you happen to enjoy. I enjoy a different kind of a fruit that's not creates hadar. Or ayin tachasayin may have been taken literally. So the Rambam says no. In the Bat Dinim, they had a tradition from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it means. Ayin tachasayin is a malitza. In different languages, every language has its own expressions that have special connotations. The English language, the way we speak in America, has certain connotations. The way they speak English in Australia or in England, they have different phrases, have different connotations. But that's what the Rambam says. There are five sections to the Torah Shabbat Peh. Three sections are the Dinim Deraisa, the Halachas L'Moshe MiSinai, Pirushim HaMekubalim L'Moshe MiSinai, and the dinim that are established based on the Yud Gimel Midas Shatar Nidreshes Bem. And then he says sections 4 and 5 are all the dinim derabbanan, the gzeiros derabbanan, and the takanas derabbanan. The gzeiros are the loy sesei, that you're not allowed to eat chicken that's cooked in milk, and you're not allowed to carry in a karmelus, you're not allowed to write put your left hand on Shabbos and so on. These are the gzeiros derabbanan. And then the takanas derabbanan, the mitzvah sesei mederabbanan, the mitzvah sesei, the mitzvah lesesei mederabbanan. What are the examples of halakhas? There was Chanukah and Bikram Megillah and Purim and so on, all the Tilus Yadayim, all the mitzvahs from the Rabban. So the Rambam sounds like he's saying that all the takanas, the Rabbanon, once they're instituted, blend in to become an integral part of the Torah Shabbat Peh on the level of their Eisen. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. That there's a machloikas, the Rambam and the Ramban, how to read the Gemara in Masechu Shabbos. The Gemara says, when you light Neris Chanukah, they say, Brocha Shekirishana b'mitzvah yisav b'tzivonu, la'adlik Ner Shal Chanukah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'heichan tzivonu, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't instruct us, it's only a din midrabbanan. So the Gemara says, no, the Torah tells us we have to listen to the Chachamim and observe the din of the Rabban. The Gemara says, so there's a machloikas, Amaroim, where is the Pasuk in Chumash that tells us that we're obligated to observe the mitzvahs when they're upon. So the first opinion in the Gemara, the Rambam follows the first opinion in the Gemara, that it says, L'sosam mekol adovash yagid l'cha yom in ismol. You have to follow all the dinim that the Rabbanim tell you. Everything that they tell you. So that includes dinim the Rabbanim. So the Rambam adopts that position. And and the Ramban disagrees, and he says, what do you mean? According to that opinion, if the Rambam is right, the Rambam is just adopting the first opinion in the Gemara. So the Ramban says, no, there never was a first opinion. The first opinion in the Gemara only meant it as an asmachta. He didn't, the first mandama didn't really mean that that's the mocker. Because the Gemara in Brochus and Dab Chof in the Sugi of Kavir Abiyah says, all the dinim de Rabbanon asmechinu akro de loisasa. The first pasuk, loisasa, was only intended as an asmachta. The real pshat in the pasuk is, if you have a shayla, nechaz tzitzis, and the rabbi's paskin, you should listen to the psak on a din derais. But if the rabbis invent the whole din derabbanon, so the Ramban says that's not included in loisasa. That's only intended as an asmach. So then the Ramban holds like the second opinion of the Gemara. Where is there a pasuk in Chumash that says you're obligated to observe all the dinim derabbanon? So the Gemara says shalavicha v'yaget chazikenecha v'yom v'loch. So that doesn't really say you're mechuyev. That doesn't, it's just if you want to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you want to go above and beyond what he required of you to do, so ask the Chachamim who know, Shalavicha v'yageilcha, Zekenecha v'yomroloch, ask the Tamir Chachamim who understand not only the letter of the law, they know the spirit of the law, so they will be able to advise you what way to go, what to volunteer, b'toras derabbanan. But it's not that there's a chiyuv d'oraisa. So that's the Ramban's taina against the Rambam. How can the Rambam understand that the first opinion, based on the pasuk shalavicha v'yageitcha, is really a mocha d'oraisa? Ramban holds that it was only intended as an asmachta m'derabbanan. So you tell, how can the Rambam hold that it's a real mocha d'oraisa? That minatora, you're obligated to observe all the mitzvahs from the Rabbanan. So how come there are so many kulas on dinam the Rabbanan, sveika the Rabbanan lekula, sveika the Raisa lechumer? There's so many differences between dinam the Raisa and dinam Rabbanan. If according to the Rambam, all the dinam the Rabbanan become dinam the Raisa. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, he doesn't fully understand why there's such a big tumult, such a tararam about this long Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He said he thinks the Ramban also agrees that once the Chachamim introduced the Din of the Rabbanan, they become an integral part of the Torah Shebal Peh Min HaTorah. The Chavis HaGavra, the Rambam also agrees it's only Min the Rabbanan. A Hefta Shatar it is Min HaTorah. So what are they fighting about? What exactly is the Machlok is the Rambam and the Ramban? So the Chavis, everybody agrees that all the Din of the Rabbanan that the Chachamim formulated blend in to become an integral part of the Torah Shebal Peh, Menator becomes a chelik of Torah Shebal Peh, Menator. So that's during the Baisheni period, that's when the Chashmonaim, the whole Nes Chanukah. I'm giving a shiur. Excuse me for a minute. So the Gemara tells us the Torah Shebal Peh gives the Chachamim so much authority, even lack of Dovim Atar. The Chachamim tell us not to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, and not to shake a lulav in a dalaminim when the first day Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. They have authority even to contradict what it says in the Torah. How did they know that they had so much authority? The pasuk Hashmartem es Mishmarti, that's the concluding pasuk in Parsha Zachai Mois, only tells you the Chachamim Asei Siyog LaTorah, they have a right to make Archokis. But where did they see in the Chumash that they have a right even to be oiker a mitzvah min HaTorah? To tell you not to put in tzitzis and a beged shel pishtan and a gershon is gar bere Pesach, doesn't bring the korban Pesach that year. The Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Tzadik on the base, gives a whole list of mitzvahs that the Chachamim were oiker. So the Shevi Altas. So Rabbi Chana Rassaman explains, he thinks it's based on the drosha from the pasuk Loisos mekol adav shegil lecha yom in esmol. Rashi on the Chumash quotes from the Sifrei on that pasuk, Afilo am yamin lecha al yamin shu small val small shu yamin. Even if the Chachamim tell you something that's obviously incorrect, they tell you go to the right, then it clearly is supposed to go to the left. You have to listen to the Chachamim, even if they tell you something that's incorrect. So what does that mean? If the Chachamim pask in an error, the Pesach is binding, even when it's an error, it's not correct. So that's what the Rabban and the Sefer HaMitzvahs is bothered with that kasha. The opening Mishnah in Horiyah says that if the Bez Nagodol, even if there was a unanimous vote, and the whole Bez Nagodol pask in one way, and a Talmud knows that they're dead wrong, he knows that they're making a mistake. So he's not allowed to follow them. You don't see Ayimin Shuhu Smol. So doesn't the Sifrei that Rashi quotes, Ayimin Shuhu Smol, while Smol Shayimin, does not contradict the opening Mishnah and Arias? So the Ramban and others give different answers. We look at the Malamed Lehoyal at the end of the whole, there are three Chalokim in the one volume of Malamed Lehoyal. So at the end of the third Chalik, he has a whole essay about this where he collects all of the different answers that the Rishonim and Achronim gave on this kasha. How can the Sifrei say, Ayimin Shu Smol, Asmol Shu Yamin, if in the opening Mishnah Harius it says Farker? But you're not allowed to listen to the Pesach if the Pesach is in error. So Machon of Asman suggests, he published the whole essay, Kuntres Dibri Seifrim, beautiful essay. So he explains, he thinks that it means a different thing. The Pesach means to say, if the Chachamim, not the Chachamim, made a mistake in Pesach, they tell you that in the Chumash it says he's supposed to blow shofar even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Shabbos. And with the authority vested in us as the Rabbanim, we're telling you, don't listen to the Chumash, don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos. You should be more concerned about Hoytzoh on Shabbos than about Kiyah Shofar. So we tell you, don't fulfill the mitzvah. Not that the Bezdin made a mistake, Al Yamin Shu Smol, tell you to go turn left, and there's no way to turn left. There's no, the only way to go is to turn right. No. If they tell you something that's a mistake, you're not supposed to listen to the Psak. The Psak of a Chacham is not binding when it's an error. There's only one area in Halacha where the Psak is binding even an error. That's by Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah. Because it says, and it says it three times in Parshas Emor. And the word Osam, all three times, is spelled Chosavov. So it's like a Kriya Niksiv. So the Ksiv is really Atem. So that's what the Tanoim Darshan, Atem Afilim Mizidin, Atem Afilim Mutim, Atem Afilim Shogigim. Even if the Bezin made a mistake, when they declared the Kiddush HaChodesh, they declared today should be Rosh Chodesh. But it's clear that the Eidim made a mistake, or the Eidim are lying. They couldn't have seen the Moilat HaLavana. There is no Lavana now. They're making a mistake. So nonetheless, even though the Bezin made a mistake in Kiddush HaChodesh and Nibra Hashanah, that's the din, what, from 613 mitzvahs, that one mitzvah of Kviyas HaLuach, Kiddush HaChodesh and Nibra Hashanah, the din is Atem Afilu Mutim, even if the Bezin made a mistake. But in the other 612 halachas, there is no such halacha. The Psak of the Bezin is not binding it if it's an error. So what does it mean, Al Yamin Shu Smol? No, not that the Bezin made a mistake. They tell you, even though it says in the Chumash to go to Yamin, we're telling you, don't listen to the Chumash. Go to Smol, because there's a Gzera de Rabbana. This is the marker of the din of Yesh Koach Laker, Afilu Bikum V'Yasei. This is the Koach of the Torah Shebal Peh, which was developed much more Bizman by Yesheni, after the Nespurim, after Kimu V'Kiblu, after the Makabal again, the Torah Shebal Peh, V'Ratzen, V'Ahavu, the Abbas Hanes, on the occasion of Nespurim. So then they developed the Torah Shabbat Peh much, much more than in earlier generations. And not only do we say, Yesh Koach Laker B'Shevi Al Taseh, let's say a person is in Aninus, he should make a Muta Lefonov, so we pass on the Shulchan Aruch, he's not allowed to perform any mitzvahs. So even though Tosus on the first half in Perek B'Shemeso, in Brochas, Tosis quotes a Yerushalmi that's learned out from a pasuk, but when you learn Yerideya, the Mefarshim on Yerideya say it's not a din d'araisa. That pasuk is only an asmachta. The whole din is only midirabon. Out of Kavod Ames, the Chachamim said that the oinim b'shemes mutalafanim is not allowed to observe mitzvahs. And all the dinim that they said, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you don't blow shofar, and the Gerushin is guy of Pesach, doesn't bring the Korban Pesach that year. It brings Pesach Sheni and so on. All the dinim, Yesh Koach Laka B'Shei B'Altase. But once in a while you say, even Yesh Koach Laka B'Kum B'Yase, if it's Lohiro Ashur, the Migdam Nilsen. So that's what happened over here. That's what the Kesem Mishnah quotes from the Ran, even according to the Rambam, that whenever the din is, that Pikoch Nefesh is Doicha, you're not allowed to volunteer to be Moshe Nefesh. And if you volunteer to give up your life, it's considered as if you violated the Issa Chomer of suicide. But in rare instances, if it's an Adam Chashuv, and he feels that he will accomplish Chizuk in religious observance by giving up his life, then he's permitted to. So that's what the Melchama was. That's what when Matisyo saw the person offering a Korban L'Avodah Zarah on the Mizbech and went and he killed him on the spot, that was Keneged Adin. That was Yesh Koach Laker B'Kum V'Yaseh. The pasuk, like we mentioned before, the pasuk says, "Lo yomas harisech harom delechnei eidel amishpat." You have to wait till the Bezin makes a gemar din. When the Bezin makes a gemar din, then the person is considered a gabri ketil already. So anyone who kills him won't be chay misa. So then the din is that the goel adam has the mitzvah to kill him, and he's not in violation of lasitzel because the fellow is already a gabri ketil. The Gemara says that sometimes if you have an iser, that's huta mechloloi, sometimes it's mutter, so that shows that iser is not as chomer as other isurim. So the Rishonim raise a question, lo sirtzach is an iser kal, because once in a while there's a mitzvah to give the death penalty. So since lo sirtzach is sometimes huta mechloloi, so it's an iser kal, how can it be? That's impossible. So the Osamech explains, no, you're not allowed to kill the person, usually it's Yagreidim Tiyabab Barishayna. and by Amesis at Yad HaNisas, the Nisas, Yotroti at Baberishayna. Or by Ratzach said that then is the Goel Adam has to kill him. So whenever there's a mitzvah to kill a person, you only kill him after the Gemar Din, after the Bezan already made a Gemar Din on the person. So it's not the Isla Sirtzach is not Ruta Mechlal. After Gemar Din, he's considered a Gavra Ktilim. That's what the Yosamech explains. So there's no Isla Ritzicha. So even though one is not permitted to kill even an Abed Azar on the spot, the Gemara has a din, in Dini Mominus, there's a discussion. They say, Ovidin is Dilan Avshay, Aloy Ovidin is Dilan Avshay, but in the Fush is for sure. The Netziv writes in the Shiurim, in the Ramei Sade, he says, Dini in the Fush, for sure you don't say, Ovidin is Dilan Avshay. You're not allowed to kill the person who is Ovid Abed Azara. Adam de Lefnehe de la Mishpat, you have to wait till the Bezdin makes a Gemar Din, Befonov. He has to make a Gemar Din in his presence. You can't just run and kill a person. So the fact that Matisyo went and he killed them, that was Yesh Kach, Yad Chachamim, Laka Dog, Menatar, Bekum, the Yasei, Loi Roa, Shor, the Migdam Milse. He went ahead and he violated Lois Hirtzach. And then he started a whole Mulchama. He didn't think that there's a chance in the world that he's going to win the war. It's Rabim Yad Miyatim and Chaloshim. They were Chaloshim. The Chazakim lost the war, the Chaloshim won the war. They didn't think there was a chance in the world to win the war. But so what was the head to start the war in the first place? And the answer is, Yesh Koach Lakar Afila Bikum Liyasei, if it's Lai Rasha, the Migdal Milsa, they felt that by starting a war, they'll make a chizuk in religion. Yeah. So that was all with the Koach of the Torah Shabbat. That's why the Gemara says that Chanukah was a yantav of the Torah Shabbat there. Because the whole story of Chanukah, the way it developed, the whole story started off as by killing the Oyver Avodah Zarah on the spot and by starting a Muhammad. The whole thing was about the Kerach of the Torah Shabbat.
What about Pinchas?
Pinchas, that's a din of Boel Aramis Kanoim Pogimbo. That was Allah on Moshe Messina, yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu told him, that is a din. But that's only Boel Aramis before Esir, Kanoim Pogimbo. That's what they were told before him. He just applied the din. He didn't do it on his own. He just applied the din. It's interesting, there's a famous Ramban al Torah. He refers to the Chashmonaim as Chasidei Elyon, holy tzaddikim. But after the story of Chanukah occurred, the Gemara says, I think 204 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, before the end of the Bayis Sheni period. But after a while, the Chashmonaim, everything got ruined. The Gemara Bava Kama, around Daf Pei Beis, also tells that the Malchi Chashmonoi were fighting with each other, and then because of the Chochmei Yevanis, that one of the new Chochmei Yevanis, so they had those who were in the Beis Hamikdash, they needed in, those who were in Yerushalayim, Hurkanus and Aristobulus, I think, the two brothers were fighting who should take over the Malchus and the Chashmonoi. So every day they would lower over the walls of the Beis Hamikdash, over the walls of Yerushalayim, I don't know which. They will lower money from Machzah Shekel money that they should bring them Korban Tomid. They bring the Korban Tomid Shel Shachar every day. And one day, the fellow who knew Chochma Yevanis, he told them, Kol Zman, that they bring a Korbanis, he won't be Menatzeach. Don't give him a Korban. So that day, they put over a pig over the wall, and then it was a disaster. It was a disaster. All the Beretzol was shaking and trembling. And the whole Malchus Chashmonaim, the whole thing got ruined. So the Ramban HaChumash asked, what happened? But they started off originally in the first generation. Matisur, but Yochanan Kohen Gadol, they did L'shem Shamayim. They were Chassidei Elyon. What happened? So the Ramban HaChumash says they violated Tzavuas HaZokin. He refers to Yaakov Avinu as the Zokin, the Zayde. And Yaakov Avinu left the Tzavuas, Lo Yosef Shevet Miyuda. The government should always be in the control of Shevet Yehuda. And the Chashmonaim were not from Shevet Yehuda. They were Kohanim from Shevet Levi. So he said, that was Shaloi Kedin. They violated Tzavuas HaZokin by taking over the Malchus. And then it's an added problem. That's no one from any other Shevet. You really have the Malchus, only Shevet Yehuda. And then the fact that they were Kohanim was an added strike against them, because the Kohanim are supposed to be in charge of the HaKrobos HaKrobonis, and we really want to have, in a certain sense, like have in America, a separation of church and state. We don't want that the government should be in control of the Beis HaMikdash. We don't want the government to be in control of the religion. They say that years ago, when Rav Avila first came to Eretz Yisrael, so they offered him that he should be the chief rabbi. So he turned it down. He says a chief rabbinate that's controlled by the government is Nishkan chief rabbinate. The same thing when they offered the Rav Soloveitchik. They offered him to be the chief rabbi. And I think they said, Ben-Gurion said, he'll see to it. If Rav Soloveitchik is interested, he'll see to it that he gets appointed. So he said he wouldn't want to be a chief rabbi if the Rosh HaMemshalah is the one who decides, and who has a say, who's going to be the chief rabbi. We want to have a separation of the religion and the government. The government controls the religion, Teichmish. The Marsha has that comment on the Gemara. The Gemara says that the Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin has a machlekes of Yechon and Reish Lakish. When you're dividing Eretz Yisrael, in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun, when they made the Chalukah, so first it took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael because there were Lamed Aleph Melochim. Then it took, that says in Novi Yoshua. Then the Gemara says in the end of Berachin there's an oral tradition. Gemara Gemara Lobby have an oral tradition that it took another 7 years to divide everything. First they divided Lishvatim, then they divided Lishpachas, then they divided Liyachidim. And the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael wasn't complete until the end of the 14 years, because the Gemara of the Chalukah was the Gemara of the Kibush, the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael. In days of Yishuv Ben Nun, that's called Kedusha Rishayna. The Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael was the Kibush, and the Gemara of the Kibush was the Chalukah. So it took 14 years. So the first year that they had to be Mafresh from Samaisas was the 15th year after they crossed over the Arden. And the first Shemitah, the first 14 years didn't count. So the first Shemitah was year number 21. And the first Yovel was year number 64. Yishuv Yisrael Yarden, because the first 14 years they weren't counting for Shemitah the Yovel purposes. So the Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin has a machlokes Amaroim that was once in the history in the world when they were dividing Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun. Does it make sense? First they made Chalukah L'Shvatim, then a Chalukah L'Mishpachas, then Chalukah L'Yechidim. Does it make sense if there's a city, does it make sense to draw the line, the border between one Shevet and the other, to cut through the middle of the city? That half of the city should be in one Shevet, half of the city should be in the other Shevet. So on the side of the Gemara, the end of Sanhedrin, so they quoted Tosfos Yeshanim from Yuma. Tosfos Yeshanim says, but Yerushalayim for sure was a divided city. Half the city was Shevet Binyamin, half the city was Shevet Yehuda. And in fact, the Gemara says the Mizbeach was not, in the Bais Sheni period, the Mizbeach was not completely Ravua on the ground. Almost two full bars of the Yisod were missing on the Mizbeach. Why? Because even an inch of the Mizbeach may not be Bechelka Shel Yehuda. The whole Mizbeach has to be Bechelka Shel Binyamin. So the Marsha, not Gemara comments, that's a Gemara in Zvachim. So the Marsha and the Gemara comments in the Chidush HaGadol, why can't that an inch of the Mizbeach be Bechelka Shel Yehuda? And why others, any other city in Eretz Yisrael was a Machlokes? When they divide Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun, does it make sense to draw the line, the border, separating to one Shevet and the other? Does it make sense to cut through a city? So one opinion in Gemara is, no, it doesn't make sense. You don't cut through a city. Half of the city belongs to one Shevet, half to another city. But Yerushalayim, everybody agrees, there was the border between Yehuda and Yamin cut through the middle of the Beis HaMikdosh. How come Yerushalayim, everybody agrees that it was divided among the two different Shvatim? So that's what the Tosfos Yeshanim answers, because Yerushalayim has a double status. It's the capital city. And the government has to be from Shevet Yehuda. So the capital has to be Bechelka Shel Yehuda. But it's also the Makam of the Beis HaMikdosh. And the Mizbeach has to be Bechelka Shel Binyamin. So you have the one city is both Mikdash Melech, Ir Melucha. It's the Makam of the Mizbeach, the Makam of the Beis HaMikdosh. And it's also Ir Melucha, the capital city of Eretz Yisrael. So the capital has to be Bechelka Shel Yehuda. because they also shaded me huda. That's tavos hazaken, and it has to be chelko shel b'yam because the mizbeach has to be. So that's what the marshal says, because he can't have even an inch of the mizbeach chelko shel Yehuda, because Yehuda represents the government. We don't want the government to control the religion. So that's what the Ramban writes on Chumash, that even though the Chashmonoim or Chaside Elyon, they were big tzaddikim, and then Muhammad was all the Shem Shamayim, the first generation, but then later on, because they violated Tzavuas HaZokein, that they were Kohanim from Shevet Levi, and they took the Malchus, which was Shaloi Kedin, and not only is no one from another Shevet supposed to be the Melech, but Kohanim, Kohanim to take over the Malchus, that's for sure not right. Because we don't want that the Malchus should be controlled. We don't want the Malchus to control the Beis HaMikdash. We want that the religion should be independent. It should be under the control of the government. So these were the two strikes against them. So that's the Ramban HaChumash suggests. That's why over the generations, everything fell apart and they lost out in the end. Rav Soloveitchik used to point out almost every year when he spoke about the Hanukkah, he would point out that the Rambam seems to say, Fakir, when the Rambam writes the whole story of Hanukkah, he gives you the whole background of Hanukkah. He doesn't give you the background of Purim. Why not? Why does he not give you the background of Hanukkah? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, the Rambam writes in the Hagdomah to the Mishnah Torah. He's calling it Mishnah Torah because all you have to do is read the Tanakh and read my Sefer. You know all there is to know. So whatever says in Tanakh, he doesn't have to repeat. So Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, and Purim says in Tanakh. So the story appears in Tanakh. So he doesn't have to give you the history. But the story of Hanukkah does not appear in Tanakh. So the Rambam has to tell you the story. He says, if all you have to do is read Tanakh, read my Sefer, you know all there is to know. He has to give you the history of Hanukkah. But he gives you the historical background. So he says, the Chashmonoim won the war, it was miraculous, and they established a government with Kohanim. So he sounds like he's angerechem that this is part of the Maila. We are celebrating the fact that the government is taken over by Kohanim. It's a Maila, not a Chisor. The Ramban in his commentary, Chumash, writes that there were two strikes against the Chashmonoim. One, that they weren't from Shevet Yehuda, and the Malchus should really be reserved for Shevet Yehuda. Number two, that they were Kohanim, and that was, he quotes a Yerushalmi, that's an added Issa, that the government should not be in controlling the Beis HaMikdash. Government should not, you shouldn't have Kohanim running the government, because then the government is controlling the Beis HaMikdash. You want that the religion should be independent, shouldn't be under the finger of, under the control of the government. So why does the Rambam consider this part of the Maila? We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we thank him over this. So they should suggest that probably because they were so frum, the Kohanim were so frum, so they were doing Habotzes HaTorah, because the Chashmonoim were Kohanim, so they were more religious than most, and they were more learned than most. The Kohanim used to pass on all the Shailas. Hisif Sochan Yishmo Daz HaTorah Yerak Shem Nipiyu, Kemalach Hashem Tzvah Kesu. The Kohanim years ago used to be the Rabbanim, they used to be the Poskim and the Moira HaRoah. So the Rambam says, because the government was taken over, so the Rambam sounds like he's saying, because the government was taken over by the Kohanim, by the Frum Kohanim, so that's why everything was wonderful at that time. It's interesting, the Hadlokas HaMenorah, the Gemara says that they had to make a new Menorah. The Chashmonaim had to make a new Mizbech, and they had to make a new Menorah. They had to make a new Mizbech, the Gemara says, because the old Mizbech was used for Avodah Zarah purposes. The Gemara doesn't explain why they had to make a new Menorah, but the Gemara just has a Machlokas HaTanoim. How do you darshan psukim? If you make a menorah from zohov, from gold, then you have to make giviyah kaftareu fracheva. You have to make everything the way it's described in the Chumash. If you make from silver, copper, other metals, so you don't have to, there's no dinet, you have to make giviyah kaftareu fracheva. You cannot make a menorah from klicheres, that's too cheap, it won't be kosher. What if you make a menorah from eights? So that's a machlokes hatanoim. In the middle of Menachos, that's a machlokes hatanoim. And the Gemara says it depends what are the midrash hatorah and the reshes b'hem. The Gemara says that there was machlokes. Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Nochem Ish Gamzu. And his tradition was that Yidarshan ribi miut v'ribui. And Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. The Brice Rabbi Shmuel lemet v'shlesh esemiz hatorah and the reshes b'hem. He didn't have the tradition ribi miut. He had the tradition klal prat to klal. and there are differences, but the darshan ribi mitzvah, ribi, you only might one thing, and if it's called a pratakla, then you say ke'ena prat. So the few nafkaminas in different places in Chumash, we are darshaning, whether you darshan the midah like Rabbi Shmuel, klal pratakla, or you darshan ribi mitzvah, ribi. So by menorah, the Gemara says, ilchap anafkamina, they both agree that a klicheris is no good. If you make klisharis and the Beis Hamikdash from cheris, from earthenware, all the Tanaim agree that it will be possible, that's cheap. And if you make it from other metals, all the Tanaim agree that that will be acceptable. It doesn't have to be made dafka from gold. It's nicer to make from gold, but you can make it from even other metals that are not precious metals. What about, can you make it from eight? So that's a machlekes hatanaim. So there was a historical machlekes, which was really a machlekes in halacha. Historical machlekes when the Hashmonoim came to the Beis Hamikdash and they made the new menorah, was it made from wood? Some Tanoim, none of the Tanoim were there. The story of Hanukkah occurred 204 years before the Churban HaBayis. All the Tanoim who were discussing it lived after the Churban HaBayis, so centuries later. But they had a historical machlekes, different traditions. Was the menorah, the makeshift menorah that they made on the spot, on the first day, finally, they made the menorah shel zav with gvim kaftar mafrachim, beautiful. But on the first day when they made the menorah, was it made from wood or was it made from metal? So that's a machlokes where the wood is kosher. So it's a historical machlokes, and the historical machlokes depends on what the halach is. Does the menorah have to be made from metal or is it made from wood? Is also good. The menorah is supposed to represent the chokhmah. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says in Brachas. The Gemara learns that from the Psukim when Shlomo HaMelech completed the building of the Bais Rishon. So he offered a beautiful tefillah, which is recorded in Sefer Melochim, and then recorded again in Divrei HaYomim, with slight shinuyim between them. But one of the things that they're both in Divrei HaYomim as well as in Melochim, what Shlomo HaMelech says is, everybody should face the Beis HaMikdash. Preferable is to come to the Beis HaMikdash to daven, because Beis HaMikdash is a makom tefillah. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech emphasizes in his tefillah. Beis HaMikdash is a makom tefillah. So preferable is to daven in the Beis HaMikdash. If you're davening somewhere in Yerushalayim, you should face the Beis HaMikdash. If you're davening somewhere else in Eretz Yisrael, outside of Yerushalayim, you should face Yerushalayim. You don't have to necessarily face that part of Yerushalayim where the Beis HaMikdash is, just face Yerushalayim. And if you're davening in Chutz La'aretz, you should face Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to be mechaben to face Yerushalayim. As long as they face Eretz Yisrael, is also good. So the so the Gemara says, when you're facing the Beis HaMikdash, the daven, so the Gemara says, harotze sheyachkin yadrin. If a person wants to be matzliach and chochmah in learning Torah, he's supposed to face the Beis HaMikdash, he should tilt a little bit to the south. And harotze sheyashir yatzpin. If he wants to be matzliach in business, to become rich, he should tilt a little bit to the north. Why? Because the similar davar is in the Beis HaMikdash. The menorah was on the left side. In the Beis HaMikdash, when you're looking at the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're facing west. When we live in America, so when we have a shul, so all the shuls are in Kodesh, supposed to be in the east, because that's facing Eretz Yisrael. You're supposed to daven facing the Aron Kodesh and facing Eretz Yisrael. So the Aron Kodesh should be in the east. So when you daven facing the Aron Kodesh, you're facing Eretz Yisrael. So by us, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, from the tour, from the Hagos Mak, just like in the Beis HaMikdash, when you're facing west, so the menorah was on the left side. If that's facing straight ahead is west, so then to the left is going to be south. So the menorah was bedarim. So by us, that we're facing east, so the menorah has to be bedarim. One could have said you should have it on the left side of the shul, just like it was on the left side in the Beis HaMikdash. So in the Hagos HaSmak, Hagos Rabbeinu Peretz on the smak, it's quoted in the Torah, in the Shulchan Aruch. So they say, no, just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah was bedarim, so by us we should have menorah bedarim. So since we're facing east, so dorim is going to be on the right side. So that's by in all the shuls where we daven, you have the menorahs on the right side. So and the Shulchan and the menorah represents Chochma. So Harotzer Sheyachkim, if a person wants to be Matzlech and learning, so Yadrim, he should face a little bit the south, because that's the direction where the menorah was in the Beis HaMikdash. Harotzer Sheyashir, Yatzpin, he should tilt a little bit to the right, he should tilt a little bit to the north, to the north, and because in the Beis HaMikdash, the Shulchan was on the right side, that was north. Straight ahead is west, and then to the right is north. And the Shulchan represents Shulchan Malachim, represents Ashiris. In Europe, in some of the Hungarian communities, they have recorded that also the shuls faced Mizrach, because Hungary is a little bit to the west of Jerusalem. It's northwest. So they really, when they daven, they should really face southeast, but they used to face more or less east. So many communities that I gefeared that the rabbi would daven to the left side of the Aron Kodesh and the Rosh HaKol would daven to the right side. Why? Because each moment he would daven, instead of facing straight ahead, they would tilt a little bit towards the Aron Kodesh. So the rabbi is learned and he wants to be matzlich, more in learning. So harotzeh sheyachkim yadrim, he should face Dorim. So Dorim is where we have the menorah in the shuls. That's on the right side. So if the rabbi davens to the left of the Aron Kodesh, then he's going to tilt a little bit. He's facing Eretz Yisrael, going to tilt a little bit towards the Aron Kodesh. He's going to be tilting to the Dorim. So he wants to be Matzlech and learning. The Rosh HaKol was always a wealthy balapos who is successful in business. So he wants to be even more successful than before. The Rosh HaShayashir Yatzbin. So because the Shulchan was on the Tzofen side, and by us and Shul, and the Beis HaMikdash Shulchan is on the right side, but by us and Shul, the Shul is facing Mizrach, so Yatzpin would be to tilt a little bit to the left of the Shul. So if the Rosh HaKol sits all the way up in the front, to the right of the Aron Kodesh and Hill, so we're all facing Eretz Yisrael, he'll tilt a little bit towards the Aron Kodesh, so he'll be tilting a little bit to the north, and then Harotz HaShayashir is Yatzpin. So this was a tradition of the Chachamim, that the menorah represents Chochma. Why represents Chochma? Because Pasuk says in Bocha Nafshi, Pasuk is describing some kind of a situation. Tosesh Choshech Lihi Loila Boisimos Kol Chaisa Yor. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it dark, and all the wild animals in the jungle start roaming around. So what is that a description of? All the animals in the jungle are roaming around. What is it, a description? So the Gemara says, Olam Hazeh is very dark. Even when the sun is shining, it's very dark. In what way is it Doimel Alayla? So the Mesilas Yisharim has a famous explanation. He says, when it's dark outside at night, people can make two types of mistakes. You can see from a distance a person, and you think that it's a lamppost. You won't realize that it's a human being. Or you see a lamppost and you think that it's a person. So he says, Boilam Azeh, even when the sun is shining, is Toshis Choshel Bihi Loilis, is Finstavi the Nacht. You can see a mitzvah and think that it's an Avera. You can see an Avera and think that it's a mitzvah. There's big confusion. Whom should you vote for in the election? These people say, they have to vote for this candidate. The one says, no, you have to vote. Mamash, they're killing each other. And whether you should celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut or you should say Kines on Yom Ha'atzmaut. The Mamish Min HaKotze Al HaKotze. These people are saying Al with a Brocha. These people are sitting on the floor and they're saying Kines. So there's so many things, Bo'olam Hazeh, Shadayim Ola Laila. We don't know whether it's a mitzvah or an aveira. So we believe that the Torah, V'Oyre Neinah B'Sorah Secha, the Pasuk tells us, Kiner Mitzvah B'Torah Or. When a person, the Medrash points out there's a stira. The other pasuk says, "Ne'el ragli devarecha ba'or l'nisivasi." That learning of Torah, "Ne'el ragli devarecha," divrei Torah is like a candle. The other pasuk says, "No, ki ne'er mitzvah v'Torah." When you do a mitzvah, it gives you a little illumination like a candle. But when you learn Torah, Torah is like a torch. So the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni asks, "Isn't it a contradiction whether liman Torah only gives a little illumination like a candle, ki ne'er mitzvah, or it's like?" Ner l'ragli d'varecha means it's only a little illumination like a candle, or k'ner mitzvah v'torah, or Torah is like a torch. Which is it? So that So the Medrash Yalkut Shemayni answers, when a person first starts to learn, he comes to the Beis Medrash the first day. So he's going to know all the world's problems. He's going to know already whom to vote for, and Israeli politics will understand everything. Disarmament and whether to attack Iraq and everything. Well, Iran, he'll understand everything. When you first start to learn, it's like a candle. But then one gate will open up, another gate will open up, one thing leads to another. All the gates will open up, and then after a lot of learning, then it'll be Kinei Mitzvah B'Torah Or, and a person fulfills a mitzvah, gives a little illumination, only temporary. The candle is not going to last forever, a couple of hours, and it goes a little, it gives a little illumination. But learning Torah, if a person learns a lot of Torah, so the Kinei Mitzvah B'Torah Or, Torah is like, Liman HaTorah is like a torch, gives a lot of illumination. So that's what, during the days of the Yevonim, they felt that Greek culture and Greek Chachma Yevonis is the illumination that in every generation there's always some new philosophy that sweeps everybody off of their feet, and they think that this is mamish, the illumination of everything. So the Chazal had a comment in the Medrash Bereishis Rabba and the Pasuk in Parshas Bereishis. So the Medrash says Choshech al Pnei Tahom is Malchus Yavam. What does it mean? Malchus Yavam with their Chachmi Yavonis. They thought that they were illuminating the whole world, and the Chazal felt that that's Choshech al Pnei Tahom. That's Toshes Choshech the Eloil is a Ha'ilam Hazash Adayim Al Eloil with the Chachmi Yavonis. The Chazal were fighting against the Tanoim, were fighting against the Chachmi Yavonis. They had different Ashkofas and different Shittas. So the so that's what was going on at that time. At the time of the Chashmonaim, they were fighting against the Chachmi Yevonis. And then Rav Soloveitchik on different occasions will speak a little bit about the difference between Chachmi Yevonis and Chachmas HaTorah. So on some occasions he would mention the Gemara in Brochus praises David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, look at all the other kings. They sit on their thrones, and they're all neat with their royal begodim, and they don't dirty their fingers. And I, Yodim Olochlochas, Badam Shvir Vishilya, the Tyrisha Labailo. I'm handling Anisha, a married woman, made a bedika. He's looking at the bedika cloth to determine whether it's Tomei or Tohar, and to look at a baby, to look at a fetus, whether it has a tzuras havlad, or doesn't have a tzuras havlad, the tairisha labailam. So he said at that time, there's a Ramban in the beginning of Perek Elu Treifas. The Gemara has a machloike satanoim, whether treifa chaya or treifa ena chaya. When the Torah prohibits us from eating treifas, is that because the shchita can't be matar a treifa because the treifa is half dead? Because treifa ena chaya. A treifa cannot possibly survive for 12 months. So because it's already one leg out, it's already half dead. So it's like if a cow dies, then you're going to shecht it after it's dead. That's not a kosher shechita. So if the cow is half dead, also the shechita is mitar medein avela, because it's half alive, the shechita is mitar medein avela, but it's not matar b'achila. So that's one opinion in the Gemara. The treifa ain't a chai. Treifa cannot possibly live for 12 months, and that's why the Torah prohibited it, because treifa ain't a chai. The other shita is not true. Treifa chaya, a diseased animal, you're not allowed to eat it. That's why. But it's not because it's half dead, and not because it's going to die within 12 months. Even if you know bevada, it's going to survive for more than 12 months. Still, if it's a treifa, it's a treifa. A diseased animal is not healthy, so you're not allowed to eat it. So it's a machlekes in the Gemara with a treifa chaya, treifa ain't a chai. So the Ramban is bothered with a kasha there in the Chiddush Ramban, the first daf of Perek Elu Treifas. How can you have a machlekes hatanoim in Metzias? Why didn't they experiment and see whether they should have taken 100 or 200 animals that were treifas and locked them up and fed them and see if they're going to live 12 months or not? How can you have a machlekes on something that you can experiment and find out what it is? And he quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Challah. One is only chayv to be mafrish challah. You only say hamoitzi, and it's only good for Eruv Chatzeris if it's lechem shemurochem olav hamoitzi and matzah for Pesach night and chometz. That all the dinim of lechem all depend on boli dechimutz. So the chachamim established that there are only five kinds of grain that are boli dechimutz. we usually assume we bought the Otzrayim spell. So there's a machlokes at Birchem and Nuri Nachacham, and what about Oriz of Dechim? Is that also Bole Dechim Mutzana? So the Yishalmi asked the Kasha, why didn't they experiment and find out? They should have mixed Oriz with Dechim with the water and let it sit for a few hours and see, is it going to rise? Is it going to be Bole Dechim Mutz? Will it be that chemical reaction that chimutz, similar to chimutz, when you mix flour with water, barley flour or wheat flour, or is it a different reaction that we call sirchon? When you mix other things with water, it's bole de sirchon, it's not bole de chimutz. Why don't they experiment to find out? How do they have a machlekes on something that you can ascertain? So the Shalmi answers they did experiment, and every time they experimented, it was somewhere in between the reaction that came about when you mixed Oriz with Dechem with water, was halfway in between Sirchon and Chimutz. And the Machlokes of Dechem and Nuri Nachacham was, where do you draw the line? Is this called Sirchon or is this called Chimutz? But whatever can be ascertained by experimentation, they would certainly experiment. But that's what the Ramban asks. Hech, this is Lashon, Hech Nech Luku Avoysa Oilam. He refers to the Tanoim as Avoysa Oilam. How can the Tanoim have a Machlokes? With a treifa chay, treifa ena chaya. Why didn't they experiment to see? Why didn't they lock up 100, 200 animals that were treifas and see if they'll survive a year? So Ramban says, Mistama, they did lock them up. Mistama, they all died within a year. So one Tana says, there you have it. You see that treifa ena chaya. We locked up 200 animals that had treifas and they all died within Yud Beis Chodesh. The other Tana said, no, it's not a controlled experiment. Maybe if you could lock up 1,000 animals, maybe some of them would have survived. They only locked up 100 or 200. So of course, everyone agrees, Ruba, the Ruba of the Treifas will not survive Yud Beis Chodesh. But maybe some of them can survive, and they still are some Itam Treif. So that you say that the Ramban has, he has it in other places also. That's accepted in all the Yeshivas today. Whenever the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanaim about something, we always assume it can't be a machlokes in Mitzias. There's such a Ramban and Shabbos also. There's a machlokes HaTanaim about, are you allowed to sweep the floor with a broom if it's a dirt floor? What's the issue? Is it a, I want to sweep the floor to get the dirt out, but there's a, which is mutter, but there's a possibility that it may be mashve gumas. And if you're mashve gumas, then it's a malacha of bona. But is it a psikreshe of mashve gumas, or is it a dobsheni miskaben? Is it a vadai that it certainly will be mashve gumas, or is it a sofik? If it's a sofik, then dobsheni miskaben should be mutter. So Taisus learns as a machlokes HaTanaim, where they allow to sweep a dirt floor. Taisus said, that's the machlokes HaTanaim. Is it a psikreshe? Is it a vadai that it'll vadai be mashve gumas, or is it a dobsheni miskaben? It may not necessarily happen, may not necessarily cause mashve gumas. So the Ramban writes in the Melchamas on the bottom of the rift there, the end of Shabbos, how can you have a machlokes and mitzius? They should sweep the floor 100 times in 100 different houses and see, is it going to happen all 100 times? It's going to be a psikreshe? How can you have a machlokes and mitzius? They should experiment. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik said, this attitude that you have to experiment, this was the Jewish attitude. He said the Greeks felt that manual labor is only for slaves. Free men don't do any work with their hands, and they only use their brains to think. And they would philosophize on everything. How come fire goes up and water goes down? How come water extinguishes fire? Why doesn't the fire cause the water to evaporate? Everything went with philosophy, with hesberim. So he said, and that's why the Greek science was worthless, because they didn't believe in experimentation. And by us, we have a Torah Semes. Everything by us has to correspond to reality. I remember when I was in college, I tell this over in this, to the students in Yeshiva. I was in college, there was a British philosopher by the name of Bertrand Russell. So he put out a few books. The one book he put out was a soft cover pocket book that was called The Dictionary of Philosophy. So for every letter in the alphabet, A, B, C, he would have a word and a cartoon to represent an idea. So one of the students in my class had this Dictionary of Philosophy by Bertrand Russell. So I think it's on the first page, he has the letter A. A stands for arithmetic, so he has a galach with a collar, backwards collar, teaching young children in elementary school, he's teaching arithmetic. So he writes on the blackboard, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Why? Because they believe in the Trinity. And they believe it says Hashem Echad. So 1 + 1 + 1 equals 1. What do you mean 1 + 1? It doesn't correspond to reality. In the yeshivas today, the bachrim don't realize that the halacha has to correspond to reality. You can't have halachas that just don't make any sense at all, doesn't correspond to anything. There is no such thing. We believe in experimentation, and everything has to be Torah Sem, it has to be Oizkahal. So that was a fault of the Greek philosophers, that they didn't believe in experimentation. The Chachm Chazal always did that. Everything has to correspond to reality. Then the Chazal, the Greeks believed in, it was such a big mila, beauty, the beauty of the body. And they would have nude statues of men and women all over the place. Everything from their period is like that. And we believe, the Pasuk initially says, Dezem Zob Yav Chazir, Isha Yofa V'sarastam. A woman is stunningly beautiful, but she doesn't have Midas Tevas. So it's like Nezem Zob Yav Chazir, the beauty is not of value. That's how the Pasuk says in Eishes Chal, Shekar Chen V'Evela Yofi, Isha Yiras Hashem Yitis Halo. Just to look for beauty, that's what the Greeks believed in. Beauty, aesthetic beauty is so important, but we believe that Midas, if Shekar Chen V'Evela Yofi, doesn't mean you marry an ugly girl. Isha Yiras Hashem Yitis Halo B'Chen V'Yofi. That's how the Mepharshim explain on the Pasuk. If a girl has Midas Tevis and she has Yiras Shamayim, then it's valuable to praise her that she's a good-looking girl. I remember when I was dating girls, so once in a while, I was in the dormitory in the yeshiva learning for smicha, so once in a while someone would hear, I didn't discuss my dates with the other boys, so once in a while someone would hear that I was dating a girl, so they would tell me, this girl is stunningly beautiful and this girl's not so good-looking. And I didn't agree. A lot of times, the girl who was extremely beautiful, I felt didn't have me to study this, so I didn't consider her good looking. When I met her and I saw the midas were not so refined, so I thought she wasn't so good looking. And other girls I thought were good looking because they had fine midas, they had refined midas, and I thought they were good looking, and the other boys were just looking at the beauty. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to talk about, that why the Greeks would place so much emphasis on beauty as opposed to midas tovus and yiras shamayim. And we follow what it says in Mishlei, that Sherkachem Hevel Ayofin, Nezim Zog Yav Chazir. We believe in beauty. We believe there's a mitzvah to hider mitzvah. You have to have tefillin noah and tzitzis noah and talis noah. You have to beautify the mitzvahs. We believe in that also. And there's such a medrash on the pasuk, the Rishonim quote the medrash, as Yehuda Shalach Lefan of Goshna. Later in Parshas Vayigash, that's Yehuda Shalach Lefan of Goshna. So the Medrash picks on the word Sholach, that Shlucha Shaladim Kemoisai. So the Medrash says the mitzvahs are Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means that they represent Elokus. The mitzvahs represent different aspects of Elokus, and Shlucha Shaladim Kemoisai. So if you'll be mechabed, the Rosh Hashanah is invisible. So how can you be mechabed him? So the Medrash says, if you were mechabed his mitzvahs, it'll be farechent as if, it'll be considered as if you're mechabed him. And one way to be mechabed the mitzvahs is hida mitzvah. You have to have hida mitzvah to have beautiful things. We believe in aesthetic beauty, but it's not more important than midas tovus. In people, it's not more important. And then the Greeks didn't believe in tzniyus. They have all of these nude statues, and they exposed everything from the body. The people would walk around undressed. And by us, the more holy something is, the more private it is. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is deep in. It's lifnai v'lifnei. The more mekudah something is, the more mechusa it is, the more private it is. And people should have privacy. It's important to have privacy, not to expose everything to the public. So there were a lot of issues that the Chachamim had with the Greek Chochmah. The Chochmah Yavanis, they considered it Choshech HaPnei Tahom. They didn't consider it higher in any Mesorah. That's why the Chazal said, if someone will tell you Chochmah Bagoyim Tamen, if they'll tell you Torah Bagoyim Al Tamen, there's a lot of Chochmah Bagoyim. So many inventions and developments and discoveries and everything in the technological world, unbelievable. unbelievable. It's going so quickly, so many different developments. About a Chachma Bagoyim Tamin. But that the Chachma Bagoyim doesn't lead you to know what's right and what's wrong. You can be one of the world's biggest scientists, and you'd be a corrupt individual, you'd be a Tador Ben Amensh, you won't have Midas Tavis. Torah Bagoyim Al Tamin. Bagoyim Ain Torah. So the Gemara says, Torah Bagoyim Al Tamin. The Torah tells us that's is what illuminates. So there is a problem. The Chasam Sofer raises this issue in the Nusach of Al Anisim that we recite in the Davening. So the so we say in the Nusach, "Vidlika neris b'chatzvos kachecha." That they lit neris in chatzos kachecha. So what do you mean? You light the neris in the hechal. You don't light the neris in chatzos kachecha. What is that all about? So some stuff has some difficult comment on this. So I saw the Kozhe Glover. Kozhe Glover was rabbi in Kozhe Glover before the First World War. And then when Rabbi Meir Shapira founded the Lublin Yeshiva, he invited him to be the top Rosh Yeshiva. And he has several svarim on halacha, Jubis, and he has a drush, chsidis, and kabbalah. So he has a comment on this with Nicholas Bechatzus Kachecha. So he refers you, there's a Gemara in Avodah Zorah on Daftman base. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Nabi Yecheskel. The Gemara says at the end of the Baisheni period, when the Romans destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, there was a ton of money, Roman coins, that was in the Beis Hamikdash. It was all Hagdish. And then the Romans took the money and they used it for their own purposes. So the Gemara says, Bikshe Ligna, they wanted to asser all the Roman money in Eretz Israel because they knew that money from the Beis Hamikdash, the Hagdish Dika money, was mixed in. Until they found the Pasuk in Yecheskel that says, Abolba Pritzim Chilalu, when the Pritzim come in, the Machlekes, the Balamor, and the Ramban, what it means, Jewish Pritzim, Agoyish Pritzim. Which Pritzim? But when the Pritzim come and they use the money for their own purposes, then it's Yotze L'chulim. So that's why even the money that they took from the Beis HaMikdash was Yotze L'chulim. There's no violation of Me'ila if you use those coins. And then the Sigmar has the same thing. Why they have to make a new Mizbeach? Why the Chashmonam have to make a new Mizbeach? Shikutsu Anshe Yovan. Anshe Yovan used it for Shikut. Shikut means Avodah Zarah. So they used it for Avodah Zarah. So it's possible to be used now for a Mizbeach. So the question is, what are you talking about? Someone comes into my house and he comes to my desk and he's Makro Karbanis Avodah Zarah. So he makes it also because of Misham She Avodah Zarah. It doesn't belong to him. He can't ask on my property. Ain't on the Moshe Dovish, ain't Inshallah. If he's going to pour milk into my flesh, so that doesn't need Dasa Adam. So then the Taisa says, of course, or he's going to pour Chazer Shmaltz into my soup. So he makes a treif, Tom Kiyika, he makes a treif. But he's going to designate something as Avodah Zarah. So ain't on the Moshe, he needs Dasa Adam. Ain't on the Moshe Dovish, ain't Inshallah. So the Gemara answers, Uboba Pritzim Chilalu. Once the Pritzim, Balamor learns the Jewish Pritzim, the Misyavnim, and the Ramban learns that the Goyish Pritzim, Machlekes, who are the Pritzim that the Navi Yecheskel is talking about? So the Pasuk says, once they used the Mizbech for the Zorah purposes, it was Yotze L'chulin, then it belonged to them. Then when they use it the next time for Avodah Zarah, then it's Adamas Adavashu Shalai. It would no longer belong to Hegdish, it was Yotze L'chul, and it belonged to them. So the second time they used it for Avodah Zarah, so they made it us. So if you would just have these two cases in the Gemara, the Gemara applies above a Pritzim Echidalu to Kasper V'Zahav Shel Yerushalayim, all the Roman coins that they stole from the Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara has it when the Yevonim used the Avnei HaMizbeach for Avodah Zarah purposes. So you're talking about an object, talking about cash, that was Hegdish, Kedusha's Hegdish, and you're talking about Avni Mizbech, that had Kedusha's Mizbech. What about a latitude and a longitude? Let's say the Goyim came into the Beis HaMikdash, so you say, Eloi Kitcha Losi Lovai, when the Beis HaMikdash was overrun by the Goyim, and they used it for bizarre purposes, they used it for prostitution, whatever they did there, so the Makam HaMikdash was Yotze L'chulin, or they only say it a latitude and a longitude, the mokum, it's a concept, mokum is yotze mechulin. Or do you say, no, it only goes on a bien, on an object, like kish, like avdi mizbeach, an object that has kedusha is yotze mechulin. So that's a Ramban and Shavuos. That's not a Ramban and Shavuos, that's the Gemara Shavuos has the discussion whether the kedusha samigdosh was kitshalosi lovoi or lo kitshalosi lovoi. So that's a famous halacha lemais, it's a famous machlek, is the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam paskins that the Mokam HaMikdash was kitshalosi lovoi from day number one. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, so the Mokam HaMikdash was in Skadish losi lovoi, even during the 7 years of Golas Bavel that Eretz Yisrael lost its Kedusha, and had to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time around, but the Mokam HaMikdash never lost its Kedusha, not at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, not at the time of Churban Bayis Sheni. And the Rabbi disagrees. The Rabbi says he knows this from Ruach HaKodesh. He knows me Ruach HaKodesh. The Rabbi is to say the history books are not sure whether he means based on Kabbalah. It just means he learned in the Beis Medrash. Maybe Ruach HaKodesh and Melitza. Means we worked hard and we figured out that this is the din. They're not sure what the Rabbi means. I think the Rabbi thought that that's what it means. He didn't think that the Rabbi figured it out with Ruach HaKodesh with the Kabbalah. He worked hard, and he said he calls that working hard. Amol Shal Torah, he calls Ruach HaKodesh. So the Ragged understood that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew that it was Osid Lehecharev. They already knew from the days of the Chet HaMeraglim that the first Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. So he only was Mekadosh et Lizman. So the Kedusha disappeared at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. When Ezra Nehemiah built the second Beis HaMikdash, Ragged writes, the Rabbi writes, Yodeh Haya Ezra. Ezra knew from day number one that the second Beis HaMikdash is going to be Chorev, because that's what Shlomo HaMelech wrote in Shir HaShirim. If at the end of the 7 years of Golas Bavel, if Yalu Kachoyma, if everybody will come back from Golas Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash. It won't be destroyed. Nivnale HaTiris Kesef. Second Beis HaMikdash will be like a metal structure, just like metal doesn't rot, so the second Beis HaMikdash will not rot away, it'll remain lasting forever. However, in Delasi, not so lalo achoris, but if hardly anybody's going to come back at the time of Shiva Sion, in the days of Ezra Nehemiah, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden hut, not so lalo achoris, like a wooden building, just like wood rots away, so the second Beis HaMikdash will rot away. So Yedeya Haya Ezra knew there was hardly anybody there, came back from Shiva Sia and from Babel. Most of the Jews remained behind. So Yedeya Haya Ezra, that the Mishani is also in Lechorib, he was only Mekadosh et Lizman. So when the second Beis HaMikdash was Chorib, so the Zman was up, so the Kedusha vanished into thin air. It's a question, how does that work? Kedusha is Pakeh V'Chdi, but that's what the Rabbit holds. And why did they do like that? Why there was only Mekadosh that by Sheni temporarily? What would be so terrible? He would have been Mekadosh et Losig Lovai. He says, no, because then the Bayis Shlishi will not be able to exceed the Kedusha of the Bayis Sheni. If it's Kitshah Losig Lovai, so whatever level of Kedusha the Bayis Sheni had, the Bayis Shlishi would have. But the Psukim and Tanakh tell us, the third Beis HaMikdash will exceed the Kedusha of the first Beis HaMikdash. So that's why you have to have, the Rabbi explained, that's why you had to have that it shouldn't be Kitshah Losig Lovai, but Dafka, not like the Rambam. The Rambam would be right, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he would doubt that Mokam with Kedusha of a lasting nature, Kitshah Losig Lovai, so then the level of the Kedusha in the third Beis HaMikdash can't exceed the level of Kedusha in the first. It's going to be a Hemshach, whatever it was in the first Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Rabbi writes. So it's a Machlekes, the Machlekes HaTanoim, whether the Mokam HaMikdash is Kitshah Losig Lovai. And it's the Sfeika, the Dina Machlekes, the Rambam and the Rabbi. The Rambam paskins from day number one when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, the Kedusha never disappeared, Kitshah Losig Lovai, and the Rabbi says, Bedavka not so. The Ramban happens to agree with the Rabbi, but the Ramban in Shavuos, that's where the whole Sugya is in Shavuos, but the Ramban gives a different reason. He says the Mokam HaMikdash, the Kedusha's Mokam HaMikdash was Batla, because of this pasuk above, but preach in the chilalu. That's a big chiddush. Because if not for that Ramban, we would have said pashtus, above preach in the chilalu. They cancel the kedusha on the money, Kaspa v'zohav v'shel Yerushalayim. The money in the Beis Hamikdash is a chayfetz at the end. So they were moitzi l'chulin, and the kedusha of the Avneh Mizbeach was yotzi l'chulin. But an abstract kedusha on a makam, a latitude and a longitude on the globe, that it has kedusha, it's not that the earth, that the sand has kedusha. If you dig the sand and you bring it to Chutz Lawrence, it doesn't have kedusha. It only has kedusha at that location, that latitude and longitude. So it's also yotzi l'chulin. That's a big chiddush, but that's what the Ramban writes. Avoba preets mechilalu goes on the makam amigdu. So the kosher lover says, if you look in that pasuk in Yecheskel, he says it's Perek Zayin pasuk Chav Beis. The pasuk starts off. How does it start? The chilalu es tzfoni, the mechalo, my makam tzafun, my hidden location, my kodesh hakadoshim, the kodesh hakadoshim in the hechal. So the Kajak Lava quotes the Mitzudis, writes on that Pasig, Lechilus, Tzifoni, the Mechalal, the Hechal, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Ubob Pritzim Mechilalu, so the Kedushas Hechal was Batla. But it doesn't say that the Kedushas Azorah was Batla. So that's what he suggests, that maybe when you apply Bob Pritzim Mechilalu to an object, so whatever the object was, is Yotze Lechulin. So if you're talking about cash in the Beis Hamikdash, the money was Yotze L'chulin. If you're talking about Avdi Mizbech, Avdi Mizbech was Yotze L'chulin. But if you're talking about the Mokam HaMikdash, then the Pasuk only says, Echilalu es Tzfoni, they were Moitze L'chulin, this Ramban says, above a Pritz Mechilu applies to the Mokam HaMikdash, so the Kajit Lava suggests, maybe it only applies to the Kedushas Kodesh Kodashim and Kedushas Hechal, but Kedushas Hazorah was still there. So when they lit the Neiris in the Hechal, the first day, they had to be Mekadosh the Hechal all over again. That's what he suggests. But they didn't have to be Mekadosh the Hazorah all over again. So when they were lighting in the Hechal, it only had a Kedushas Hazorah. So when we say in the Davening, Hidilka Neiris Bachatros Kachecha, doesn't mean that they lit the Neiris in the Hazorah. They lit the Neiris in the Hechal, which only had a Kedushas Hazorah, because you have to be Mechanech the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days in a row. So at the end of this, at the end of all the 7 days, then it will have the Kedushas Hechal, and then it would be considered the Hadlokas HaNeiris in the Hechal. These are some of the ideas that are, I think, important with respect to with respect to the Melchemes HaChashmonaim and with respect to the Inyanim of Chanukah. Is there a little time left? Maybe we'll raise a little issue. The Gemara has two different, maybe we'll close with this. The Gemara has in the Sugya of Chanukah two different machloikis and two different dafim. The whole Sugya of Chanukah isn't so big. So there's one machloikis whether cups are zakaklo, cups are ain't zakaklo. If I lit the Neiris Chanukah and they burned for 20 minutes, then they went out. And it's a Shetich L'Regem and Ashuk, there's more time to go. But it blew out. Are you Mechuyev to light it again? So it's a Machloikis. And then there's another Machloikis on a different daf, where the Hanocha is a mitzvah, Hadlocha is a mitzvah. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of the menorah? So let's say I had a menorah I lit last night. I lit the menorah last night, and it's still burning the second night. So do you have to blow it out and light it all over again, Hadlocha is a mitzvah? Do you say, no, just pick it up and put it down. And Hanocha is a mitzvah. So these are two different machlokes in the Gemara. Or let's say, if a Cheresh Yoyt to be cotton, will light the Neiris Chanukah. So the Gemara says, you're not Yoytze. Cheresh Yoyt to be cotton is not a Bar Chiyuvah. So Mishenu B'chuv V'Dara and Emoti HaSarab Meridei Chayvosam. Just like a Cheresh Yoyt to be cotton can't blow Shofar for the Tzibur, so they can't be madlik the menorah to motzi all the bnei habayis. Let's say you have the father and the mother and you have all the 9 children and they want to be mechaved, the youngest child who is not yet bar mitzvah, he should be lighting the menorah for the whole family. So he's not bar mitzvah, he can't be motzi the adults. So cherush had to be cotton, it can't be motzi them. So what if cherush had to be cotton lit the menorah and the gadol will pick it up and put it down? So if you hold hanocha, it's a mitzvah. So the gadol did the hanocha. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, Hadlocha is a mitzvah. So we paskin both. We paskin not Hanocha is a mitzvah, Hadlocha is a mitzvah. So if the Neir is still burning from last night, I pick it up and put it down. I'm not yet. I have to blow it out and light it all over again. And if it leaks a cherusha to be cut, you can't just pick it up and put it down. You have to blow out the candles and light it again because I've locked on some mitzvah. And on the other machlokes, where the cups are zokaklo, cups are ena zokaklo, so there the Gemara comes to the conclusion that cups are ena zokaklo. You're not mechayev to light it a second time. You look in the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Kara puts the two together. It's against the Gemara. And Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, because we pass on the halacha that hadlaka oisa mitzvah, so therefore the din is that cups are ena zokaklo, because he already did his hadlaka, and he doesn't have to do more. But if the din would have been hanocha isa mitzvah, then it sounds like the din would have been kafsa zakakla. He makes the two machloikas in Tolis and the Gemara, they're absolutely not presented like that. Not presented as if the two are Tolis Ebizet. Okay, believe that next week, maybe we'll discuss more of the details of the Hilchas Chanukah in the Sugya. Gemara has a discussion. Maybe we'll start with that. And Chav Dalet, the Amud Aleph, Gemara has a discussion. The Chachamim made a takana. You should say Gala Nisan three times a day. Shachris Mincha Mara. What about Musaf? You have to say Gala Nisan and Musaf or not? Then the Gemara broadens the discussion, and it's relevant halacha lemaise on Shabbos Chalamay Pesach, Shabbos Chalamay Tzukas. What bracha do you say on the Haftarah? So maybe Belinetta will start with that next week. Everyone should be healthy and have a Feilich and Chanukah.
Amen.
Feilich and Chanukah.
Next
Thank you, Rabbi.
The recording has stopped.